I come to you today in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. So there's a line in our gospel lesson that says, there is need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part. And this has been a difficult lesson for many people for many years, and it's been used to like tell women, especially, to be quiet. And I don't think that's what it's about. Chew on that for a second. I'm going to tell you a quick story, if I can. I think it's strange that we feel comfortable telling these stories in front of people that, like, my parents are here, my dad's not here. I had to sing next to Ben because there's not the like Williams tenor next to him. My parents aren't here. My wife's not here. My son is gone. I can tell you these things. It's okay. Hopefully. So I have a story for you that I think will lead us into the message of what I think today's gospel lesson is about. It's the shortest gospel lesson that we're going to hear in a long time. I'm going to do my very, very best to keep it short with my sermon. I'm from here. When I was 16 or 17 years old, I grew up here in Tryon. I grew up in this church. I walked up these steps. I was an acolyte at that altar. I was also like kind of a problem child, and I did some things that I probably shouldn't have done.
Ian, that wasn't me.
I don't need just you, Robert. I got Ben with me here too. Now, I've done a lot of things that I regret. I've done a lot of things that I'm glad that I lived through living here in Polk County. And as your 40-something-year-old priest now, I don't do those things anymore. I don't mess around with those things. I don't go out after midnight. Nothing good happens after midnight, right? Out in public, maybe after. We're all adults here, right? And so since I don't see any teenagers here with us, maybe a couple. You got a couple? All right, let me tell you teenagers something here. This is something that I'm going to tell you, okay? After your sports ball practices or gymnastics or swimming or whatever you do, go home. Okay? Go home. It's safer there. It's peaceful there. You can do your homework there. You can do the things that you need to do there and not get in trouble in the ways that I'm about to tell you that you might get in trouble for. Now, so again, Ian Williams, child of this county, Polk by God County is what we called it if you grew up here. Sometimes when you're 16 or 17 years old, I'm sure none of you ever did anything like this, but sometimes when you're 16 or 17 years old, you know every mile straight in every county that you've ever lived in. And we live in Polk County. There's not a whole lot of like mile straights in Polk County. But I guarantee you I know where they're at. And I drove as fast as a 1988 Jeep Wagoneer can possibly go on those mile straights. Not always to like good effect, right? One day, or no, it's not a day. I guess it would be a day. One night after midnight, I'm driving on Highway 9. And if you're not familiar with this, you know, ask Hoppy. She knows where it's at. Yeah. There's a good mile straight on Highway 9 going past the Green Creek Fire Department, right? And at some seriously ungodly hour, me and three of my friends were like driving down, going as fast as a 1988 Jeep Wagoneer can go. And we're not going to Bible study. Let's just acknowledge that now, right? But what I saw when I'm driving down the road is I see a deer running out in front of me. You've all seen this. You've been driving around here. The deers don't care about humans anymore. Anyway, but at like whatever, 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm driving down this mile straight and I see this deer like dancing up the road, and I'm like, you know, as like a wannabe NASCAR like moonshine driver, I'm like, I bet if I just go faster, I won't cream it, you know, T-bone it. I'll just get past it. Well, that didn't happen. What happened was, is I drove, and that deer hit the like rear wheel bed of my Jeep. And I in my rear view mirror, I saw that thing spin around three times, hit the ground, lay on the ground, off to the side of the road. We're in front of like Green Creek Fire Department, and this is where you get like the cops called on you when you're 16, 17 years old. So 17, 16 years old, teenagers, don't do that. Don't do that. That's how you get in trouble. And the whole thing is like when you hit a deer, you're supposed to like call the cops and tell them like, this is what happened, and hopefully my car's not messed up too bad. That's not what we did, of course. We have like all sorts of things in the Jeep that are like, well, let's dispatch this deer. Let's kill this deer. Let's eat this deer. This is 1 o'clock in the morning. Again, not thinking completely clearly. Izzy, I see you nodding. I get it. So with this happens, and we get out of the Jeep and we go see the deer. And then as that deer like looks me in the eye before I'm about to like bash it or cut it or shoot it or whatever I'm supposed to do, it just jumps up and runs off to like go die in some field or some woods somewhere. So go live like a peaceful, not live, but like go have like a peaceful death. So we get back in the car and we don't go to Bible study, but we get back home safe. And there's two people in that car that can confirm this story. Two of those people in that car cannot confirm or deny the story that I just told you. But one of those people that was in that Jeep Wagoneer in, I don't know, 2000, 2001 or something, when we were about to like just do something stupid out there on the side of the road, came and tapped me on the shoulder and was like, hey, shh. Breathe. There's a different way. Just be at peace. Let it go. And let it do its thing. Let it go. Right? About 2 or 3 years later, I'm in a tree stand in Green Creek. I've got my 30-06 lined in. I've got the scope set. We've done all the things. Ready to go hunting. It's a very early morning. It's cold. I've gotten up. It's awful to get up in the morning to go hunting, but that's what we did. And I go out there, and I'm looking downrange in my like area that I'm allowed to like shoot in. If you hunt, you know what I'm talking about. And I see this deer. Now I'm going to tell you. I got to back up a second. So when I see this deer run off, I see this like horrible like road burn scrape on the side of it, right? And we let it go. And then 2 or 3 years later, I'm in a tree stand looking down range, and I see this deer, and I've got it in my scope, and it's time for me to shoot it. And I saw that like road burn. And by this point, like the antlers have grown. This deer is like huge and healthy and happy. And it's an 8-point buck. It's the biggest deer I've ever seen in our county of Polk by God County, right? So I see it, and I'm looking through the scope, and I'm like, I cannot shoot this deer. And my friend, who was also in the Jeep at the time, that put his hand on my shoulder and was like, just let it go. Just let it go. See what happens. Was there with me in that tree stand. And he said, I see it too. Let it go. Let it go. It's okay. And if you're in Green Creek and you see huge deer with like great buck like horns, I reckon that this is the progenitor of all of those deers. Again, drive slowly, don't go out after midnight. So this is, I think, really important to me to think about that. Our intrepid young men continue to go to Bible study, and someone just thought of like a different way of being, a different way of seeing, a different way of existing in our world. And I think that when I looked downrange through that scope that early morning, I made the right choice with help, and I'm cool with that. I think this is important because at what point do we do the right thing? When do we make choices to do the right thing? It's often in the moment. It's often in the minute. And who makes the right choice? Who gets to determine who makes the right choice? And when do we do that? So that's my story. And here's my sermon. So let's go. There have been times when I have made choices. And I knew just deep within me that it was the only choice to make at that time. It was absolutely the right choice. And if I could do it again, and I bet you all know this, if you have had those circumstances in your life, you were confronted with a difficult choice, and you made the right choice, and you knew you made the right choice, and you do it again. Imagine that. I think I would make the same choice then as I would do now. And I think that I would do it with thanksgiving and gratitude. Now, if you could guess, by the story I just told you, I got lucky on that mile straight on Highway 9 by the Greenville or the Green Creek Fire Department on Highway 9. Not always been lucky. Told you that. Two of those boys that were with me that night cannot confirm or deny the story that I just told you. It doesn't always go well. Teenagers, listen to me now. It doesn't always go well. There have also been times where when I made what I thought was the right choice, but I can see now that there was a better choice to have made, I did it and I regret it. I regret it, as don't we all. Hopefully, you can't identify with me in the stories and these things that I'm saying, but I look at your faces, and I think you do. If we could, we would do things differently if we had the chance to choose again. There was no real good reason for us to be on that road going as fast as I possibly could in that ridiculous old tank of a car at 1 o'clock in the morning, not going to Bible study. And I suspect all of us could say the same thing. And Lord, please have mercy on all of us for making the wrong choice sometimes. And I'm glad you're here to reflect on this. And here's also the thing. Too often we equate the choices that we make, the good ones, the bad ones, and the subsequent approval or rejection with our sense of goodness, our sense of worthiness, our sense of acceptableness or lovableness, our sense of faithfulness. I think that's what most of history has done with Mary and Martha. Mary made the better choice. Jesus says, and we reckon that we should be like Mary and not like Martha, right? Be silent. Shut up. Let Jesus do what you're supposed to do. I don't think it's always like that. We're told through history, through our bosses, through seminary, through everything that we were meant to sit and listen rather than to be active and to be busy and sometimes to be misunderstood. Mary is equated with the contemplative life, the pious life. And Martha with the active life, the crazy life, the like shut up Martha life. Centuries of Christian history has seen the contemplative life as the more perfect life. And I love that. I love contemplating. I love listening. I love praying. I love singing. I love all of that. I'm also sometimes tired of that. Sometimes I want to go and do what God has called me to do, the way that God has called me to do it. So, the question is for you, all of you, because I reckon some of you understand what I'm saying, is Mary better than Martha? Is she more holy? Is she more loved? Is she more acceptable to Jesus? Is she? If Jesus is saying that Mary's way and not Martha's way is the way that we are supposed to be, Then the next time any of our spouses say, hey, will you go to the store or the ER or whatever and like go do this thing? And you just sit back and you're like, you know what, I'm just going to sit back and say, you know, I'll just sit here and think and be quiet and wait for what Jesus tells me to do. What do you think your spouse or your partner or your friend or anybody that looks at you and sees that will say to you when you're like, I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to sit here and just let Jesus take the wheel. You think that would work? They might get on your nerves. They would get on, I would get on your nerves if I said that to you, right, Patsy? Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to the grocery store, Patsy. I'm going to sit back here. You go to the grocery store. How will that work? Yeah, yeah, not real well. And I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. And I don't think that my wife and your friends, your partners, your people would say that either. I think this is because Jesus is making an observation in our gospel lesson today. Jesus is not making a judgment on Martha to prefer Mary. Jesus is making an observation of what is going on in this house that he has come to. He's seeing his friends. He's seeing them. Seeing them. Jesus sees them. And he's like, Mary and Martha, I see you. I'm observing what's going on. And in this moment, in this situation, I see what's going on. And this is something for you to listen to. Doesn't mean Martha's bad. Doesn't mean that Martha doesn't need to go do work. Doesn't mean that women should be quiet and sit by and just do, right? Doesn't mean that. Jesus is making an observation and not a judgment. The cool thing about Scripture, friends, is that this text ultimately isn't about Martha and Mary because Scripture is alive. This text is about us. In our situations, our circumstances. Friends, this is the thing. What I'm telling you is that our reading today does not mean that we are meant to be like Mary, and I will never, ever preach a sermon that says that you should be like Mary. I think you should listen. I think you should be quiet. I think I should listen. I think I should be quiet. And I think you should go be busy and do stuff. We're going to have Sunday here. We're going to like go be busy and eat ice cream after this. If Jesus wanted us to just do that, why wouldn't he just clearly tell us that one thing? He rarely does that. He rarely tells us to do the one thing. The times that Jesus tells us to do the one thing, he says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do not get between me and the little ones. He's serious about those things. Most of the time, he just tells us stories for us to interpret. Sometimes I want Jesus to give us a clear answer about choosing the better part. But look here. You got two aisles on this pew, or in this church, in this sanctuary. Do the better part. Do the better part. Not do the better part. Don't be like that. It's just us. Do the better part. He doesn't do that. He tells us, bring us together. The reason why I say this is because I think Jesus tells us that choices matter. We are always making choices, everything we do. And I wonder how many choices that we make every single day. You chose to come here today. Proud of you for that. Carries. It's hard. You chose to come here today. Could have stayed in bed, made good food. You chose to come here today. Proud of you for that. We make choices. Oftentimes, we make these choices with great deliberation, with great struggle. Now, some of our choices are insignificant. What socks do I wear today? What shirt, Hoppy, did you choose to wear today? Ultimately, it doesn't matter. you're here, right? They're forgotten the next day. Nobody knows. Other choices have great meaning and significance, and the consequences are long-lasting. Teenagers, when you go out after midnight when nothing really good happens, sometimes those choices have long-term consequences. Our choices can and probably do shape who we are. They can establish in us patterns and habits of how we see and how we act, the words we speak and the ways we relate to one another. Our choices can and possibly do set the trajectory of our lives. Teenagers, you know this. Grandparents, you know this. In this context, Mary made the better choice that day. But it was a choice for that time, that place, and in those circumstances. Now change the setting, and Martha's choice might have been the better one. We can see it in Jesus' own life. Sometimes Jesus went off to be by himself, to be alone, to be silent, to be still, to pray, to sit and listen, to be present to and with his Father. In those times, he was like Mary. At other times, Jesus was very active. He was on the move. He was in the midst of people, healing, busy, teaching, feeding thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. And on those days, he was more like Martha. It is easy to distinguish between Mary and Martha when we have this tiny little gospel lesson today. But please see around them. Look beyond that story. See the people that are around them, their relationships, their family, all of the things that really matter. And Jesus sees all of that too. He enters this house and he sees them. And they are present with Jesus in the midst of all the crazy of their lives. Mary and Martha, friends, are two ways of being present. Just like two ways of being present. Both ways are necessary. Both ways are faithful. Both ways are holy. There is no simple choice, not one that is made forever and always. We are always, as readers, as learners, as disciples, to be discerning, to be growing, to be getting wider, deeper in our faith. We are always to be discerning the one thing needed in this time, in this place, and in these circumstances. And I bet you're going to have one today. And I bet you're going to have one tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. And the next day. So what do you do with that? What is the better part, giving that particular circumstance or that particular situation? So the question is, friends, followers, beloved, how do we be present? How do we show up to the divine presence that is always around us and always before us? That's the question. Some days Mary will be our guide, and other days Martha will be our guide. And either way, we've got to choose, right? Some days that choice may mean sitting quietly and listening to the heartbeat of God within us, reading and studying, watching a sunset with our spouse or by ourselves, or sometimes praying for the world when everyone in Spartanburg, when I've got to get down there to check out my sketchy knee and my sketchy ankle, and everybody's driving and everybody sucks at driving. What do we do in those situations? We make choices. Other days, it may mean speaking words of hope and encouragement, offering actions of compassion, of hospitality, visiting Patsy Baker. Right? How'd that feel? Feels good. Visit Patsy Baker. She's fantastic. Go see her. Learn from her. Either way, we choose So the question is, what is the one thing in you that's like stirring up in you right now? In this moment, what is the one thing that is needed from you, from God in this world? And not forever or what you think will fix all your problems and let you live a life that's happily ever after. Doesn't work that way. But just now, what is the one thing needed that will keep you awake, that will keep you aware, that will keep your mind, your soul, and your body open, receptive, and present to the presence of Christ? What is your choice going to be? Choose that, because that is the better part. And yet, hold your choice lightly, because there will be another choice to be made after that, and another choice to be made after that, and after that, and after that, and another one, and another one. We choose to follow Christ, and Christ gives us the opportunity to choose our way into life, to choose our way into our relationships, into our faith. And Christ also gives us the opportunity to choose into our own salvation. And those choices matter. Choose.